Oh, good morning. When I grow up, I'm going to be able to do something awesome like that. Amen. Beautiful, Marguerite. Beautiful. Good morning. Welcome to Bethany United Methodist Church this beautiful Sunday morning. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Amen. Yes. It is good to gather together to praise and worship our Father in heaven. In Psalm 113, 1 through 3, we read this: Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. The name of the Lord is to be praised. And I say hallelujah to that. Folks, we're going through some difficult times, but we still need to praise the Lord because he is greater and more powerful than any trial we could ever face. Our first praise song is Our God, and I want you to just focus on the words of this song. Absorb these words. Let them fill your minds and your hearts as they testify to the loving and mighty character of our God.
Awesome in power, our God, our God.
could stand against. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. I love that song. Amen and amen. My brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, I'm really struggling a little bit right now. I see a lot of hatred and intolerance in our nation. We've allowed political party platforms to polarize us. I've even heard people who call themselves Christians passing judgment on other people and speaking with hate speech. Basically, and as sad as this makes me feel, though, I know that there is a source of help and peace that is omnipresent. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Psalm 121 is one of my favorite psalms, always has been. But the first two verses really speak it loud and clear for all of us right now. This is what we need, where we need to put our focus. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Father in prayer right now. Good morning, Father. We come to you in your house, and we are lifting up our gift of and sacrifice of praise and worship to you. Lord, we just pray that it is pleasing in your sight. We just thank you for all the many blessings you've given us, especially Jesus, our Savior. We lay our burdens and cares down right now at the foot of your cross. Heal our broken hearts, ease our burdens. Lord, you know all the needs and all the hurts. So we just ask for your healing mercies right now, Father. Forgive each one of us any sin or stumbling block that is separating us from you, Lord. Jesus, you are mighty to save, and you stand in the fire beside us. Lift us and hold us close, for it is in your holy name we pray. And now we will sing the song, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oopsie. Sorry about that, folks. And now it is time for children's moments.
Good morning. How are we doing? All right. So part of today's message is, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Don't have very many kiddos here, so the rest of you are pretending. Good news or bad news first? Good news first. All right. Well, there's a saying that we use with our son. And it was a little bit like the saying that my dad used with me, only I think I took the positive spin on it. My dad used to say, this is life, you know? Basically, suck it up, buttercup, you got a deal. We used to say, love conquers all, to my son. And he hated it with the same passion that I hated it when my dad said, this is life. But it's true. You know, it's so true. And as we see in today's message, God's love is there for us no matter what. So parents, you're first. Got a couple questions for you. Do you love your kids?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Even when they make you crazy?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Do you have any idea why you do that? Like, I know there were some days when I looked at my child and I said, I don't know why I love you, but I still love you. You know, we just have that internal clock, that connection. So kids, do you know your parents love you? Are you sure? Even when they frustrate you and they make you crazy, do you know they still love you? Even when they don't let you eat all your Halloween candy on Halloween. Yeah. Sometimes I'm a kid, just like you guys are kids. You know, we're all kids and parents at the same time. Well, those of us who have gotten to parenthood. And I remember times when I forgot that my parents loved me. There were times like that. When my dad came home and told us that we were moving, my freshman year in high school, I forgot that my parents loved me for a while. I even forgot when they bought me a horse to help me get over the fact that we were moving my freshman, you know, going into my freshman year. It was a rough time. It was a rough time. I was shy. And being thrown into a school that was so large that it took two buildings to be one high school, 9th through 12th, it was, you know, tantamount to terror for me. And I forgot for a while that he loved me. And this scripture is there to remind us that even when we're feeling hurt and we're sulking in a corner, that God's love is there for us when we're ready to turn around and accept it again. The only thing that separates us from God's love is us. So if you listen to this scripture, this is a God who gave us a great and awful gift of free will. You'll hear where he very specifically shares this with us. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, he says, neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height or depth or any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. The only thing that can separate us from the love of God is us, right? So there's the bad news. There's part of the bad news. The only way you lose sight of his love is when you turn from him. So same thing with your parents, you know? Same thing we have to remember with those who love us. The only way we lose love is when we turn away. The second bit of bad news, since we decided to take bad news last, like who does that, is that this means, this is a comforting scripture, right? That God's love can't be separated from us unless we choose to. That means he's not promising sunshine and roses all the time. And sometimes we're going to hit patches where we feel separated. And we have to be the ones to know we've got to turn back to him. All right. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, sometimes we feel so far away and we want to blame it on you. We want to say that you have left us. But deep down we know that your love is right there always and forever if we turn to you. Let us turn to you. And then let us accept your love and share it with all of those around us who need it today. In your name we pray. Amen.
There is a call. Some hear it like a distant thunder. Some hear it like a whisper in the ear. Some just feel it in their hearts. A deep sense of responsibility to country, to service, to something bigger than themselves. We honor those who are willing to do what so few have done. Because of their sacrifice and service, our country is a light on the hill that cannot be put out. Though many have tried, those who stand and protect it are heroes, worthy of our respect and admiration, worthy of every minute of attention we give to pause and recognize the hope, the sacrifice, the honor of all who have served our country.
So as part of recognizing our veterans today, as we are looking forward to Veterans Day, I'd like to ask all of our veterans to stand, if they would. And I'd also, I'd like to ask, and if you're at home, if you're watching Facebook, I want you to stand right now. And now I want military spouses of veterans to stand as well, because I think they need to be saluted as well. And let's show them some praise. Thank you. Thank you so much for your service.
Good morning. We will be doing our scripture reading responsively this morning. So the sections are separated by the words leader and all at the beginning of each section. So please join me where you see the word all and continue to join in until you see the word leader again. All right. The scripture this morning comes from Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 through 3a and 14 through 25. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, or if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve our gods.
For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples whom we have passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and he made statues and ordinance with them at Shechem." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Lord, we have read your words aloud. We have heard them, we've read them. And Lord, as we stood in the place of those people who stood before Joshua all those years before, all those years ago, Lord, help us to promise to serve you. To serve you and not those other gods we create for ourselves. May we serve you and serve you well. Be with us in the midst of our meditation. Be with me in my words. May they be your words, O Lord. Amen. I got to say that not singing during the singing, it is hard. It is hard. I come in and I think, oh yeah, I like that hymn. We're going to sing that hymn. It's, oh no, you're going to hum that hymn. And a few words broke out now and then, but you know, we do what we can, right? We do what we can in these odd and unconventional times. Well, our scripture this morning has some hard parts to it. I thought Julia's children's message was absolutely perfect this morning. You know, sometimes you hear the children's message and you say, "Oh, let's just stop there because that works. That is a great message." But I'd also like to tell you about three businessmen: Samuel Hill, John Nicholson, and William Knights. And they got together and they decided they wanted to do something for traveling businessmen like themselves. And so, almost exactly 112 years ago, they placed the first Gideon's Bible in a room at the Superior Hotel in Superior, Montana. Now, they all shared a vision. They wanted to reach out to other people who were traveling as they did for their business, for their livelihood, and since then, Gideons have placed 1.3 billion Bibles in hotel rooms. And something I didn't know, the hotel industry did some research, and they found, and this was a number of years ago, so I don't know if that's changed or not, but at the time, they found that approximately 25% of the people who come into hotel rooms read those Gideon Bibles that are there. Now, that's quite a legacy for these three gentlemen. Lonely travelers from Vegas to Venice can read that one book that is there in the nightstand. I don't know. I guess it's still there. Like, I know that they've taken a lot of things out of hotel rooms that you can touch. I hope the Bibles are still there, because that Bible has interacted with people's lives, all kinds of lives. Like Elliot, who checked into a hotel room and he was going to commit suicide. But he stumbled upon that Gideon Bible and he met Christ that night. And today he's a pastor. And then there was Kevin, who was a staunch atheist. And yet, one night he stayed in a hotel and he picked up that book and he met Jesus. And he keeps that Bible with him to this day. There was an Italian filmmaker who was caught in terrible traffic trying to make his way back home to Rome. And so he decided to pull off of the freeway and get a hotel room and spend the night and try again in the morning to get home. And he picked up his Gideon's Bible. He wasn't expecting to stay in a hotel that night. He just, you know, was there and he picked it up and he started reading the Gospel of Mark. And he was inspired to make a movie using the words that were in the Gospel of Mark. And it's been dubbed into English. It's kind of a phenomenal movie. And there are all of these kinds of Gideon Bible stories. Now, I have a few quarrels with the Gideons about women, but, you know, that's my deal. Still, those Bibles have made an impact on people's lives. Sometimes Scripture has a way of confronting us, and sometimes it meets us where we are. And Joshua kind of confronts us this day. Our text shows us that Joshua was able to bring magnificent clarity to the issues that lay before him and his people. He said, "Choose this day who you will serve." And, well, that's what he asked the people to do. That's what they do. Our text shows us as someone who was able to bring some clarity to that point. Now, before we go forward with this, with what Joshua asked the people to do, maybe we should look back a little bit. Now, at the end of Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, Moses is dying. And the text says, "Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." So you're Joshua, and you're supposed to step into Moses' sandals. You're the one that God has picked. And how hard is that? You know, when you think about it, think about the guy who had to follow Tom Brady as the quarterback for the New England Patriots. And maybe you've been following him already. You know, you're following someone who has 6 Super Bowl rings. Who wants to step into that position? Who wants to be Cam Newton? Not me. Those are big shoes to fill that Moses is leaving behind, the person who talked face to face to God. Who will fill that gap? Who will come after a Billy Graham or a Bill Gates or a Mother Teresa? But there was Joshua, picked by God. And God reminds him at the beginning of the book of Joshua that he can do this, that he is a one-of-a-kind personality. And God reminds us that we all have a legacy or a ministry or a life to build in service to God. So as soon as Moses dies, God starts speaking to Joshua about how he can do this. You know, it's kind of the first book, the first chapter in the book of Joshua is kind of like Newt Rockne's Gipper speech. You know, "You're the man, be strong, courageous. You know, I'm going out with you." And then the linchpin verse 8 in the first chapter of Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." So God's giving Joshua everything he needs to do what he has to do, which is get these people into the promised land, chase out the people who are already there, and get folks established. And if there's anything we learned in the previous books of the Bible, is that these folks are, it's like herding cats. They're always grumbling or saying, let's go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. But God says, Joshua, you've got this, you can do it. And so he helps Joshua bring these people into this new land. And he does it in an amazing way. He's getting these people who've been wandering around for 40 years into this new place and establishing them there. Joshua is willing and ready to serve God. I got an email recently from a group called Family Search. They're a free site for researching genealogy. And the email let me know that they had located my grandfather's Veterans Bureau records showing the dates of his military service. And I was curious to see them. Parts of my grandfather's life are somewhat shrouded in mystery because he was estranged from his family. So I was sort of excited to see a new document. And so I saw, you know, his years of service and where he was, what company he was stationed in. I knew a little bit of his history. I knew that he arrived in this country when he was 1 or 2 years old. Depending which year you want to choose as his birth year, you got a couple options there. But I do know that my grandfather's father, sometime when my grandfather was in his teens, his father hit him upside the head with a 2x4 and knocked his teeth out, and my grandfather ran away from home. But he ended up with a family that had a carriage-making business, and they took my grandfather in, and they taught him a trade, and they fed him and housed him and taught him how to be a blacksmith. And so when the sons of this family enlisted in the army, as the United States was going into World War I, my grandfather did also. He wasn't a citizen, but he wanted to serve his adopted country. And so he ended up shoeing horses in the 9th Company of the 20th Engineer Regiment. And yes, that's how old I am. I have a grandfather who worked shoeing horses in the army. Well, Wednesday is Veterans Day. Many have served, many more than you know. I know that there are many people in this congregation who have served in different branches of the military and in more ways than I can probably imagine. Nobody shoed horses, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, my father was a trained quartermaster during World War II. I think about Mr. Barr, Johnny Barr, and his service in the Navy on the USS Missouri, which is pretty amazing and historical. I've known many Vietnam veterans. I think of Bert, who was a rambunctious kid in one of my congregations who became a drone pilot in the Air Force. I know Bob, who was a Navy chaplain. My uncle was a crane operator during the Korean War. In my previous appointment, my administrative assistant's daughter enlisted in the Marines, and it was always interesting to hear about her experiences, to hear the experiences of someone who was going through Marine boot camp. She rose to the, last I heard, the rank of sergeant, and I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe she's a drill sergeant, which just cracks me up because she's like 5'2". But she's known as Mighty Might, so do not underestimate her by any means. But yeah, there are a lot of people who have served, who have, as we saw in that video, who have heard the call and have come, who went forward to serve their country. And I think about after September 11th, one of the things that really moved me was that there were so many young people who felt called at that time to protect their country after the towers went down. I think about the number of people, well, regardless of how you feel about the election that we just had, the number of people who cast ballots at this election will probably be the highest not of all time, but of living history. People who decided they wanted to participate in democracy. People who felt like they were a part of something bigger. And that's what Joshua is calling these people this day as they hear him proclaim to them, who are you going to serve? He wants them to know they are part of something much bigger than themselves. That they are part of God's unfolding drama. And God wants them to participate in it. Now, Joshua gives kind of a barn burner of a sermon. He declares to the Israelites, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he then recounts some possibilities if they don't serve the Lord. It is sort of a fire and brimstone, turn and burn sort of a sermon. And so the people say, yes, yes, we will serve the Lord. And we're Methodists, we're mainline Protestants. We avoid, I think, or maybe it's unfashionable to embrace fire and brimstone in these days, let alone vengeance, recrimination. We tend to think about grace and forgiveness and absolution, which are good things, believe me. And so when I read Joshua's words, I also like to put them next to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. Because Paul writes in chapter 8, verse 31, as Miss Julia read to us, if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, no, none of those things. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If we choose and choose well, if we choose God, then God is with us. There are idols still. They may not be named Baal or Moloch or Asherah, but there are things like success or wealth or conspicuous consumption that call us to worship them. And we have to choose. Will we choose to serve ourselves, or will we choose to serve God? Who will you choose? Will you serve God? This should be our North Star moment. This should be the time when we plot and navigate our way through life using God as that needle that points us in the direction we should go. Hopefully, whom we will serve should be resolved when we meet Jesus Christ. Grace means that we have hope for redemption. The grace of Christ means that our slate can be wiped clean in a moment, even when we make mistakes. Joshua reminds us who we belong to, who we should serve. And I can say, even though I may do it imperfectly, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. I want to thank everyone who has made our service possible. There are a lot of small moving parts, and I am so thankful for everyone who makes this work. Thankful for everyone who has supported the church in all the different ways that that happens. And so let us pray and bless all of these folks. Gracious God, I give you thanks for all of these who make this gathering possible, who make it possible that even though we find ourselves often in isolation, that we can find ways to come together. Continue to keep us in love with you. May you be our guiding light, our guiding star. May you be the one that we serve. Bless our gifts and help us to use them well. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. We do have some announcements. So we are asking folks to share with us something that you are thankful for, whether it's something big, something small. If you can send in a picture or a couple of sentences, we're going to share that in our November 22nd service. So I lift that up to you. If you took a name for the apple tree, if you would bring your unwrapped gift to the church by Sunday, November 15th. And if you see your happenings, you'll see that you can purchase a living poinsettia or a poinsettia. Cost is $9. And if you get the living poinsettia, that will either, you can choose to have that money go towards Open Doors or weekday religious education. So, and payment needs to be to the church by November 22nd. And the food pantry is in need of diapers. And just a reminder, we do need to be wearing masks when we're in the building. And the website, this is a joy. We own our domain name for our website. So hopefully the website this time next year when we need to renew, we will not go down as we were down for a few days this week. Do we have any other announcements? All right. I'm going to check and see if we have any prayer concerns for folks from the website, and I do not see any. I don't know if I lifted this up as a joy last Sunday. I should have, but two of our regular attendees, Suzanne Mullins and Danny Harrell, got married last Saturday, so that was a joy. I think they are still on their honeymoon, and that is a wonderful thing. Any other prayer concerns? Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we are gathered together in this place, we thank you for all that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for all that we have that comes from your creation, for all of the beauty that surrounds us in this amazing place called Shenandoah Valley. Lord, you have given us a place to live, a place to worship, a place to raise our families, and we beseech you that we may also be mindful of all that you have given us, that we will be glad to do your will. Bless this country, bless this community, bless this community of faith. Help us to have a spirit of wisdom. Help us to have a spirit of kindness. Help us, when we don't always share the same viewpoints, live well together, to hear one another when we speak. Help us to love our neighbors and to love you. Grant, O God, that you would be with our leaders and that you would give them wisdom. Be with those who are struggling with illness and bring healing to them. Be with us in the midst of turmoil and give us calm. Lord, I pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you would give them hope in the power of the resurrection. Lord, help us to remember that you can come into broken places and make them whole. All this I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to hand this back over to Kathleen, and we can resoundingly hum our next song, Rescue the Perishing.
Let's hit it.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We poor, the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Have a blessed week, everyone.
And you'll be dismissed by Rose, by the ushers, but as Kathleen said, have a blessed week, and may you know that if you turn to God, God is there, God loves you, God will uphold you in his right hand. Amen.